You are now listening to the Slaw Offices of Russo, Russo, and Peretti.
All right, and welcome back to another episode of the Slaw Office. I am your co-host, Robbie Russo, along with Nick Peretti.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And, of course, Kyle Russo.
Hey, we're down, but not out. Let the valley shake, baby.
All right, so we've got a lot of topics to talk about. First of all, how was everybody's weekend, Nick? How'd your weekend turn out for you, man? All your teams won? Everything worked out the right way for you, or what?
Nah, it wasn't the greatest of all weekends, but I did get to enjoy a win in the swamp. The swamp was real this weekend.
It definitely wasn't putting kids to sleep this weekend, right? Unlike last week.
No, that's pretty fair to say.
Okay, cool. Kyle, how obviously if his weekend was pretty good, how'd your weekend turn out?
You know, it was 50-50. I mean, well, I'm not going to say 50-50. 75-25 cuz diehard LSU all the way. I mean, I like NFL, but college takes a cake for me. It was nice to see Drew Brees break the all-time passing record though. So that made the day a little better, or the weekend, I mean.
I gotta mark him up because since 30 years old, the dude's been killing it. Like, he is literally killing it. He's got over 45,000 passing yards since he hit 30. He did like 25 before then. So shout out to the old man. That makes me feel good as I get older in life. But yes, congratulations, Drew Brees. Way to go. Awesome job. I'm so proud of you. Proud for you and the city of New Orleans and that team. It was a great moment for the NFL. It was a great moment for the city and the state of Louisiana. So congratulations once again. Well, I mean, we're still on NFL. Let's not get crazy on it. Let's stay with the NFL right now. Let's talk a little bit about NFL. We got a couple topics. We're going to dive into some college football a little later, the shakeups from last week and what's going to happen this week. But since we're on NFL, let's stay with it. You got two teams right now undefeated, Los Angeles Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, scheduling obviously will not allow both teams to go undefeated. They do play each other. I believe it's week 11, and it's on Monday night. How convenient. And it's in Mexico City. So either the bookies or somebody's putting that together, but that's pretty convenient that two undefeated teams, well, at least at this stage in the season, will go head-to-head Monday night in Mexico City live on the prime time. But as far as Kansas City goes, now we knew they were going to be good. We all said that. 2 weeks ago on the show, on the episode, we all said that we pick them to win, or at least pick them to be a playoff team. 5-0, though, undefeated. How do we feel about that, Nick?
Well, I mean, honestly, I won't say it was expected, but I definitely thought they were going to be good going into the season, like you said. As far as going undefeated for an entire season, regardless of them having to play each other, neither team was going to do that. We're not going to see that happen again in our lifetime. There's just too many good coaches out there, too many good players, and too many injuries. The game is fast. The game is, they can say, make football violent again, but at the end of the day, it is a violent game, regardless of how soft they try to make it. You're going at full speed. These guys are crazy athletic. So ultimately, there are going to be injuries, and you're not going to make it through an entire season unscathed. And on top of that, if you are sitting there at 14-0, 15-0, you're starting to think about resting some of those players and making sure you're healthy for the playoffs so you don't end up like the Titans in 2016 losing Marcus Mariota for the playoff run.
Yeah, I got you. Kyle, what do you – I mean, as far as Kansas City is concerned, what do you got on them, man?
As far as Kansas City is concerned, I think they lose this weekend to the Patriots. I mean, we all know New England. We all know New England.
I was going to get to that.
There's a night game in Foxborough. That place is going to be crazy. Yeah. And it's the Patriots. It's that time of the year they get rolling, and they're just going to run away with their division like they do every year. Kansas City, I do like Kansas City, though. They honestly played really well against Jacksonville. I think the Jags did have their worst game of the year. But the Chiefs had a lot to do with that as far as being able to stretch the field. And I mean, they didn't connect on a lot of things at all downfield, but they were able to make enough wiggle room for Kareem Hunt. And, I mean, you got guys up front like Marcel Darius, Malik Jackson, Calais Campbell. Those guys are really good at stuffing the run. And I know it's not like Kareem Hunt had a career day, but, I mean, he was also very nice on the ground. And Patrick Mahomes, me and Nick talked about it earlier. It's nice to see a guy his second year just absolutely go off like this, and it's refreshing. You do see it a lot more now. So that's why I'm so high on the Chiefs, because Patrick Mahomes is as advertised, and it's and I don't see him slowing down, honestly. I mean, you
Yeah,
you got the Bengals next week, then the Broncos again.
That's what I'm going to touch on, their schedule. Their schedule is somewhat favorable. Obviously, the Patriots, then the Bengals. I think the Patriots win that game. It's in Foxborough, like you said. Honestly, I think the Patriots win that game. I think Kansas City beats Cincinnati pretty handedly. I'm still not sold on Cincinnati. No matter what it is, I'm still not sold on them. They've beaten Denver before. They're going to beat Denver again. I mean, this time it's in Arrowhead, so good luck, Denver. Then, obviously, I think they'll take care of Cleveland, and they'll take care of Arizona. Obviously, the Monday night matchup is going to be the big one. Is Estadio Azteca in Mexico City against L.A. I think they're going to go into that game 9-1, and I think they'll go into that game 9-1. I think they actually leave that game I think they leave that game 10-1.
They do have a favorable schedule, but I mean, they could trip up here and there. I mean,
but after Los Angeles, they're nothing. They have nothing. They have Oakland. They have Baltimore. The Chargers.
I don't know how many times I have to tell you about the Chargers, man. They play everyone tough. Oh, so I mean, the Chargers is going to be
Baltimore Ravens a difficult
game. Baltimore's going to be a good game. And honestly, I mean, you might laugh.
Can't overlook any team in this.
You might laugh, but the Browns might be a good game. You got to go to Cleveland. Who knows? It's absolutely in November. It's going to start getting cold. I mean, it's cold in Kansas City too. But I mean, if you could pass on that defense, I mean, that was the problem with the Jags game this past weekend. They couldn't throw the ball because Bortles just couldn't do it. He couldn't get the job done. But that is a very gettable secondary, and I would like to see what Baker can do against that.
Yeah,
I think his odds.
I think the Chiefs end the season the number one seed in the AFC. Like I said, I do think they lose to New England. Let me not crawfish on you, but let me say, I think all those games for Kansas City are winnable, and they should win those games. I'm not saying that they're going to blow everybody out the water, but look at that. Yeah, Baltimore may be playing people tough, and San Diego here and there. I know how San Diego is. I follow that division a lot. They're hot and they're cold. That's the one team that's been 5-0 so many times that won't even make the playoffs. Yep. They end the season 7-9. So they can catch a hot streak. There's no doubt in my mind. I just think if the Chiefs stay as consistent as they've been staying, I think they're going to go at worst 14-2 this year. I think they beat Los Angeles just because we've seen how Minnesota carved up Los Angeles. So, and I know that LA's got a powerful pass game, but I mean, I look at the roster. They do have a couple injuries, but I mean, I think the secondary, I like the matchup. I think the secondary is kind of weak for Kansas City compared to the Rams, but I still feel like Kareem Hunt, even though Todd Gurley's there, I think Kareem Hunt will be the X factor in that game. So,
I mean, they went 5-0 last year and got bounced out the first round to the Titans. So, I mean, like you said, we have seen it with them. But it's different this year because they have Pat Mahomes. This guy can stretch the field, and that's the difference. I know at one point in time, Alex Smith had the most passes completed past, I think, 20 or 30 yards downfield. And, I mean, those are good numbers as well. But Mahomes is different, man. He looks a lot like Aaron Rodgers. I'm trying to pump the brakes, but he does. He's got the arm. He's got the arm talent. And in athleticism.
Right.
Mahomes for president, baby.
All right. So let's the counterpart to the other 5-0 team, the NFC leaders, the Los Angeles Rams. The greatest show on grassy turf, the greatest show on Showtime LA. Whatever you want to say, however you want to do it. They're 5-0. They still have Denver this week, which, I mean, Denver to me has been a disappointment.
Yeah, they'll roll.
Through and through. But then you've got, what, San Francisco, and then you get a little
tough. Yeah, it gets a little sticky because
Green Bay, New Orleans.
I don't think they'll roll. I wouldn't say roll.
Yeah, I don't. I have no confidence. These guys will
be competitive. Denver's going to show up and be competitive in that game. But the Rams are a good team. The Rams are the best team in the NFL. Right.
They'll win by two scores.
And the Rams can do it defensively, and then you turn around and what they have on offense, it's ridiculous.
Hold it. Do you not think that the Rams will beat the Broncos by two scores on Sunday?
If they do, it'll be late. Like, it'll be a respectable game until the late third, into the fourth. Like, they're right now.
You realize the Rams put up some points.
I know they had one close game. I'm sorry.
You realize the Rams have put up some points against really good defenses, right? With offenses.
They also scored 19 against the Raiders.
With offense that has also been good. So you got, I mean, Seattle's a good offense, right? I mean, Seattle put 31 up. They're running with these guys. Minnesota, they can sling it around, you know. And Minnesota has a really good defense.
Does Seattle scare you? No, but
Russell Wilson is very good. Their defense doesn't scare you. Does their defense scare you like it used to? No, they're not the same team. But Russell Wilson is still the same player. Yeah, but as far as the Broncos go. They don't have the firepower to keep up with the Rams.
I disagree. Emmanuel Sanders is still there. They have Royce Freeman, who's been stepping up. Their offensive line is a little shaky. And then they had Jake Butt go down for the year, so that makes that a tough position.
Either way, it's a 2-3 score game, in my opinion. Look, if Oakland can hang with you, L.A. is going to blow you out the water. I think L.A. hits early. I think they hit often. I think LA puts up a minimum 21 in the first half. Denver may eke out 10-14, and then LA is going to put up another 14-21 in the second half. And Denver, they're going to be outlasted. They may put up a field goal, two field goals, or a touchdown. But I think Denver loses by at least 17.
Who's got the primetime games this week?
New England and Kansas City have the Sunday night game. As far as I don't even know who's on.
Let's see that.
And you really like. Well, you really like.
I do like. I do like.
You don't feel like Kentucky has a fighting chance.
Of course, they got a fighting chance. They're going to have a fighting chance every year. New England has done this so many times as well. They start off on this sluggish. Everybody's like, oh man, Tom Brady's looking 50, or he's looking 40 now.
Every year,
and he's like. Now he's adding weapons like Josh Gordon. Yeah, he might not have been a huge factor, but slowly throughout the season, they're going to get that chemistry. Josh Gordon's going to become a factor. He's still got James White is looking like Darren Sproles from like 6-7 years ago when he's with Drew Brees. And then you know what I'm saying? Like, he is that guy. Like, he's going to be – he may be the leading receiver on New England before it's said and done because it's just the simple swing routes and the dump passes, and he's making guys look foolish. Shout out to me for drafting him in the fantasy league, so let's go.
Yeah, Tom Brady lives within 7 yards, but it looks like Green Bay, San Francisco, primetime.
Yeah, Monday night. You're right. Green Bay, San Fran.
News alert.
but guys, for me with the Rams, I mean, I feel like the Rams will finish with a worse record than the Chiefs because the AFC is not as strong as the NFC. If you look down the schedule,
I've got them losing to Kansas City in Week 11. I got them losing to New Orleans in Week 9, and I got them losing to Philadelphia. I think when they play them again, I think Philly wins Week 15. So,
yeah, I think the NFL is a week to week basis.
Very true.
And all those
very true
change because your boy goes down, Todd Gurley goes down, and everybody.
Right. Well, it's week to week, but I mean, we're foreshadowing or forecasting what we think. I mean, I'm just telling you right now.
I mean, if Pat Mahomes goes down, Chiefs are dead.
LA goes 13-3. Kansas City goes 14-2.
If Blake Bortles goes down, the Jaguars
may be okay.
All
right. Oh,
they're running away with it.
So we hit a little bit on that. Once again, we hit congratulations, Drew Brees. We ran through the Rams and the Chiefs and
Hey, do you think – how many years do you think it's going to take him to catch Peyton Manning's touchdown pass record? Because I'm looking, he's down 87 right now. Now, it could be done in 2 years, but
2 years past this year, yes.
Yeah, the years that he's
If you base it off of his recent numbers and you continue the trend,
I'm saying if we, here's the thing right here. He can get it this year and next year if the Saints have a bad year. The years that he's throwing for 46 touchdowns, dude, that's crazy. 43, 39, 34. He had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
You're not just scoring that many points.
No, well, I mean, they had bad defenses. They had bad defenses.
If he stays healthy, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, I don't know what water they're in, what they're drinking, because Eli's definitely not drinking that water.
The TB12, bro. They're drinking the TB12.
Whatever they're drinking, I'm looking at, like, why in the world? Like, they're doing it at an amazing age. And as far as I'm concerned, like, this is – I mean, they're out there at 40 years old. Say whatever you want. They're 40.
I mean, Drew right now is 11 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Yeah.
Right now.
No, he's doing great. Like, he's putting up phenomenal numbers. Where's Tom at? I looked that up, and I think I closed that tab. I had that tab actually pulled up. I was looking at the stats on Tom Brady, and let me see if I could pull that up. Because I was looking – I mean, we all look at Tom Brady like he's this and that, but Tom Brady is
– He just manipulates a game. He manipulates a game into his favor every time on offense. It's almost sometimes sickening to watch, but it's so good. That he just gets his – he gets 4 yards every play. He wins the down more than he loses.
Yeah.
But with Drew
– I think he and Peyton Manning are a lot alike in, as far as they prepare. They're going to out-prepare you. They're going to outsmart you. They know the game so well. They know what you're doing. They know what you want to do to stop them. They're just really good, and they make changes at the line and can just – they see it so often. Sorry to
– Hey, Drew Brees has had 5 different seasons with over 5,000 yards passing, right?
Yeah.
So five. There's been in the NFL, there's been only 4 other combined quarterbacks to pass for over 5,000 yards.
Right.
Insane.
Yeah, I was about to say Matt Stafford.
Insane.
Yeah.
By the way, hey, I do have the Rams losing to the Lions.
Really? You think that's
gonna I have them as a stickler, man. They're gonna lose some games, but they're up and down, man. They're gonna play up to their competition and down to their competition. Let me see. That's in December, the first week in December, the 12th, 1 o'clock window.
Okay, so it's not the Thanksgiving game. Okay,
I like the Lions' offense, man. I really do.
Right.
Ugh. I mean, oh yuck! I mean, you got Golden Tate.
I still think
you got. Good. I mean, you still got Stafford, who is slinging around the yard. Yeah, he makes mistakes, but he is a gunslinger. And I like Kerryon Johnson, LeGarrette Blount duo in the backfield. You still got Theo Riddick out the backfield on third downs. I like him. I mean, you got your boy Jared Davis in the middle on the defense over there. I mean, they're not too strong, but I mean, they got athletes. They got Darius Slay. I mean, you're big on Darius Slay. I wasn't real big on him until you started spitting out facts to me the other day.
I am, but this league is just taking advantage of everybody. It doesn't matter how good you are. I don't know who the All Pro is this year because to be completely honest, when the right team comes in, they're throwing. They're going to do what they want. These offensive coordinators are scheming it up.
Yeah,
right
I mean,
now. The defensive.
It's an offensive league, and it's been that way for years now. And well, it's getting more and more favorable, even throughout year after year. It's becoming more and more favorable. For the offense. I mean, let's look at – you can look at penalties. You can look at
– No, there's a direct correlation. There's a direct correlation, and that's ratings.
Well, yeah,
ratings that ratings have been down the past 2 years, and what happened? What's happened now? The offensive scoring has gone up. It's the most – it's been in years. And what's happened? Ratings gone right back up. So, I mean, they've made these rules. They've done all these things to make offense and NFL more appealing and score more points, make it more like the Big 12.
Right.
And they got it. They wanted parity. They wanted more views. They wanted all the stuff. And I mean, not is it really compromising the game? That's another conversation. But
right.
It is what well, it is.
We'll see what happens. I mean, ratings are not. I mean, the offenses are going to show out every year. So,
and that's right, why I pick college over NFL every day.
Well, we're going to pick college over NFL now. We're going to switch to it. Last week.
College football.
Last week was a bit of a roller coaster for the top 25, mainly the top teams. You had 4 teams in the top 15 go down, and three of the four losses were to unranked teams. We'll start from the bottom up. 13th ranked Kentucky, lost to A&M. Kentucky falls to 18. A&M moves up, now ranked 22nd. Obviously, we all know I called that. We know.
I'm so glad you said started from the bottom up and mentioned Texas.
Well, A&M. You know, you got to everybody's got to start somewhere there in it, somewhere, and it's, you know, usually it's on the bottom. So, you know, when your USF Golden Knights play somebody viable and they want to be, we'll actually put them in the podcast. Other than your object and sustain and your closing statements and arguments, you know, when they're viable to be in there, other than that time, then we'll talk about UCF. So, anyways. Kentucky falls to A&M, obviously it was in Kyle Field, so it was a home game for A&M. That definitely helped him out. My biggest take on that game was the absolute control and dominance from A&M's defensive line. Benny Snell comes in there leading. Hello. Watch out.
Excuse me. You don't think? Sneeze button.
Yeah. Okay. So Benny Snell, the leading rusher in the SEC, gets destroyed. Well, by A&M. He comes in averaging like 150 yards a game, 140, 150 yards a game, and A&M shuts him down to like less than 60. And nothing? Come on, dude.
No, they definitely here's, that, no doubt. You can't take anything away from the way the defense did basically completely shut the offense down. They had the quarterback look scared.
They made him throw, and he can't throw. Right he I mean, he can points. Throw, but – it's just like if you shut the
– but I thought the Gators did the same thing, but he didn't keep him in the pocket, and he was able to make plays.
That's right.
With his feet.
That's right.
And A&M didn't allow that's him right. to do that well, either. He wasn't getting third.
The difference is this. A&M controlled the line of scrimmage, and they ran for a good bit of yards. I mean, Trevion Williams had a 138. And yep. then and, – I mean, and it you could tell because it, when you're watching the game too, Benny Snell only got 13 carries. All
right. He wasn't carrying. That's carries. Right. I don't so, know. They kept running that other cat that they kept running the Rose kid here and there, but Wilson well, I mean, was scrambling a lot. They were putting pressure
yeah.
on Wilson.
Wilson
the time was coming. So
yeah,
I don't know. Like that's my take on that. The defensive line won that game for them, hands down, without a doubt.
They won on first down. That's why you see the low carries because they were putting Kentucky in the where they felt like they had to pass on second down. So he wasn't getting those extra touches throughout the game.
And look, you can go back and look at it. Terry Wilson had 100 yards passing. I mean, Kentucky offensively, Kentucky didn't have 200 yards. I'm looking at it right now. They had 178 total yards of offense. That's, I mean, you do the math, but you, I mean, unless your defense is a number one in the polls and can get a defensive touchdown, which they did pretty much, you know, they got that fumble towards the end and put them back in the game. But I'm just saying, like, I give credit where credit's due. That defense, that front seven of A&M did their job, did exactly what they did. Freaking Donovan Wilson was flying all over. Terrell Dotson was making the huge plays on Wilson, on Terry Wilson when he was trying to scramble. That's the factor that, in my opinion, having Dotson spy Terry Wilson that game is what won them that game. Because just like you were saying, Nick, how he was getting out of the pocket and making those conversions, Terrell Dotson was spying him 80% of that game. And to me, that's what helped that team. So, all right, let's go on to another SEC team taking a loss. The SEC is getting blown up right now. Number 8, Auburn, loses to Mississippi State. Mississippi State moves up, gets right now 24th. Auburn falls all the way to 21st. Thoughts on the Auburn-Mississippi State game? I didn't catch a lot of it. I caught a little bit of it, but what's your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, it's your typical SEC West game. I mean, you're going to get beat up on each other, and it was a low-scoring game. I mean, I think Auburn is struggling bad at the wrong time. That's what I really, really think. And
never a good time.
No. And honestly, it was – yeah, you're right. And it got out of hand for Auburn a little bit, but Auburn is struggling bad. And
sure.
Jared Stidham's not the same guy. Mississippi State has one of the best front sevens in college football.
Jared Stidham is not.
Well, I mean, he's going through a little skid like their whole offense is. So, I mean, I'm not going to put it on one guy on Auburn, but Mississippi State has a for real front seven. And if you fall into their trap and that is playing into their strengths, you might get beat. It can happen. I mean, they are a decent team, but I mean, they're not gonna be a top 12 team at the end of the year.
Okay, so any bids on them? What the deal with Auburn and Nick Fitzgerald ran all over them that game. Nick Fitzgerald and he does that. He did that several. He does that several times a year.
And you have the game plan for that.
Here's the thing: without Mullen, they are up and down.
That's the one thing you're supposed to stop.
Right.
That's the one thing you're supposed to stop. You're supposed to make them beat you in something else, and they can't do that. And I'm surprised because they got the talent to do it. They have the coaching to do that, and I'm surprised.
There's no reason. And I'm with you 100%, Nick. You got to be able to contain this guy. I mean, when the guy throws 9 for 17 for 69 yards, but he can run for 200. Come on, man! Like as an Auburn, like if that deserves any, come on, man, that's what deserves it. Like Auburn's defense has got to game plan for that. They've got to be ready. Like
it's like instead they said, "Hey, we're gonna make Nick Fitzgerald beat us," and he was
Here's what happened. They didn't take away the run. They took away his arm, which was a bad decision because they ran him. Nick Fitzgerald almost had 200 yards rushing with two touchdowns.
Yeah, and he ran the ball like 30 times,
seven yards a clip. So I mean,
unless he's just that good one on one in the open field, because I mean, it's not like they weren't scheming. I mean, they were putting guys in the box to stop it. He's running those options. He's running those pitch plays.
He made the right reads.
I mean, it's a tough play to stop. It's a numbers game, and he's good enough to beat you one on one. But I'm wondering how good is he? That good that these guys are struggling?
I mean,
with him
but
in
he's done
field?
This several times before. This isn't his first time doing this, though. This is easily the third or fourth time in the last couple of years that he's done this. I remember this specifically him doing it against A&M 2 years ago when A&M was going in there ranked pretty good and Mississippi and Nick Fitzgerald ran all over them. So it's not his first time doing it. I'm not surprised that he didn't do it. I'm just more surprised that Auburn – I mean, I don't know.
I thought higher
of Auburn. I thought Auburn really, as a team collectively, not saying they didn't show up, but their defense didn't. Their offense looked – horrible. I mean, 3 for 14 on third down. What are you going to do with that, dude? You're not going to but once again, that's Mississippi State's front seven. That's making them play behind the downs. That's making second and third down harder for them to get to. I get all that. You know, that's some of the stuff that I did notice is Mississippi State's got a good front seven. So they got a good front seven and they got a good quarterback. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I'm not calling for him on Heisman anyway, but just saying.
Yeah.
Anything else on that?
No, I mean that you nailed it. I mean Auburn's just a bigger disappointment when you have Nick Fitzgerald throwing for less than 70 yards. You got to win a game when the quarterback throws for less than 70 yards in today's game. So I mean that's just it's disappointing if you're an Auburn fan, honestly, because you had high expectations for this year.
Oh, dude, you had huge expectations, and then you come right behind and you lose to LSU on a last second field goal. Then you lose to Mississippi State. And now you're looking at, dude, I'm almost out of the top 25, and I'm two losses in conference, not like out of conference.
In the West.
Like, in the West, yep. You might as well, not going to say call it quits, but asking for LSU, they probably lose two, but asking for Alabama on top of that to lose two games in conference, you might as well just play for whatever. I wouldn't, you know what I mean? So that's.
Yep.
So, anyways, all right. What else? Let's see. Oh, yeah, of course. We're going to save the best for last. Calm down, Kyle.
Hold on. I need to say something. We're not just going to stumble over this LSU.
Well, we're not there yet. I mean, I was going to get we're going to get to LSU. Hold on. You ready to go to it now?
Well, you skimmed over them.
No. I want to touch you. Trust me. I'm not going to skip over LSU or Florida.
Oh, here we go.
We're going to hit that one hard. We're going to finish that. That's going to be
in lieu of Hurricane Michael. You know, we're going to take this one.
So, but let's. I just want to hit. I'm from the bottom to the top. Nick, come on now. Number 7, OU loses to Texas. Oh man, to me that sucks. I had OU. I've already told you this. 2 weeks ago when we did our way too early. I had OU there. They lose to Texas. I guess now the question is, is Texas for real? I mean, it's been talked all over, but are they real? Are they back?
Hell no.
Where they were?
Hell no. You want to know why? Because they lost their first game of the year to Maryland at home. That's why they're not for real.
You want to know why? You want to know why? Because they let somebody score 45
points.
No,
it's the Big 12.
Well, it was not only letting them score 45 points. It was the fact that they were up by 21.
Yeah, they had a meltdown in the fourth quarter. They let up 21 points in the fourth quarter. That's an epic meltdown. You're not back if you do that. You're not back if you lose. If you lose to Maryland at home, you're not back. All right? So, I mean.
I mean, they did end up winning the title, having the big shootout with USC, right? Remember the shootout with USC? It was a lot of scoring. Points back and forth, similar to what Oklahoma and them did.
Well, it's the
Big
12.
That's what I'm asking. Is Texas back? Is even though their defense is mediocre, if that, is their offense strong enough to carry them through the Big 12, win the Big 12, and into a college football playoff game?
Well, no, because that's the point. Because they don't play defense in the Big 12. So, I don't have any team from the Big 12.
Are we just talking this year?
Yeah.
I'm talking
right now.
Right
are they
now?
Back? This year, right
I'm
now.
I'm talking right now.
But Tom Herman's good.
No, right now. Are they back right now?
I'm not talking about in 2 years. In 2 years, they're going to be fantastic. But I'm talking right now. They're calling for it right now. A lot of teams out there call. I'm just saying a lot of teams right now, a lot of analysts and stuff. Texas is ranked number 9 right now.
It could happen.
Dude.
It could happen. I mean,
obviously
they could go undefeated. Yeah, I mean, it could happen. Crazier things have happened in college
Oklahoma
football.
State. To me, they're going to play them tough, but those are winnable games for Texas. The only game they got left, honestly, in my opinion, that they could pretty much get drawn out on is the West Virginia game.
West Virginia.
Because Texas Tech doesn't look like Texas Tech. I mean.
No.
Excuse me. Offensively, they look like Texas Tech.
Have they played TCU?
Yeah, they've already beat TCU.
They beat TCU handily by 2 scores. So that's what I'm saying. They beat TCU by 2 scores. Now, don't get me wrong. In reference to what you're saying, they destroyed USC.
They still have Oklahoma State.
Yep. They still have Baylor, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech,
and those are back-to-back.
Iowa State.
And those are back-to-back
Kansas,
games.
And they had the West Virginia game in the first week in November. I mean, here's the deal. Okay, let's eliminate all other things. If Texas finishes the season without another loss, do you think they – and let's just say they're fifth in the polls, the coaches' polls. Do you think
– the Texas?
Yeah, I'm talking Texas right now. If Texas finishes the rest of the season, ends up being fifth in the coaches' poll, do they get voted into the college playoff?
No.
Why? No. What is keeping them out? What
– Notre Dame.
Okay, but you're looking. Hold on.
So that's a non-conference. Hold on. That's one non-conference team getting in. You have to instantly realize that, and then realize what conferences are going to get in. So now you're going to tell me only one SEC.
Look at the resume. I'm not saying you can say what you want. I'm looking at rankings and strength of schedule. They beat USC, who's ranked. They beat TCU. They beat Oklahoma, who's undefeated, top 5 team, top 6 team, however you want to call it. And they still have West Virginia. They're going to – if they win that West Virginia game, they will have knocked off 4 at the time, 4 top 10 teams. So what – I am surprised
to see a one-loss Big Ten team getting in the playoffs.
I'm saying, and you know good and well, I'm not a Texas advocate, but I'm looking at statistics. I'm looking at what they have, the strength, the schedule. The 4 – if they beat West Virginia, they have beaten 4 teams in the top 10. I don't know if USC was – I don't know if they were – they might have been like 12 or 13 when they played. But either way.
USC is going to lose again this weekend to Colorado. USC – that USC win is not going to mean anything when they're 3-3.
I don't even remember – well, USC – I know I'm –
well, here's
you,
the thing.
USC doesn't look good. I know they don't look good. They're not good schedule – I mean, standing-wise, they're not good record-wise. But at the time, they were a top 10 team.
You have to realize teams change throughout the year. So, like, I heard something, and I agree with it. It's kind of like South Carolina is not going to be that good this year. But one of Georgia's wins were against South Carolina, who had that place rocking when they went in there. And South Carolina, I mean, yeah, they didn't put up any points, and they got slaughtered. But, I mean, teams play different throughout the year.
Right.
And you can catch somebody hot early, and then they're not so hot late. But if we're talking Notre Dame, Texas, I don't even want to go down this avenue of Texas because, for one, they don't meet the eye test. Like, are they really going to – you really think they're going to win out? Really? I mean, I know there's a lot of ifs.
I mean, I'd pick them over UCF.
Absolutely. Absolutely, if that was the case.
I mean, I would pick a one-loss Texas team over UCF any day.
Hey, because they beat Texas.
But let's see who does Notre Dame play. Let's say the same thing for Notre Dame. I mean, they beat Virginia Tech. I mean, they did struggle mightily versus Vanderbilt earlier in the year before they made the quarterback change. It gave them a kind of a jolt against Wake Forest and Stanford. I will say that Virginia Tech. I mean, you lost to Old Dominion. Okay.
Yeah.
You still got Florida State on the schedule, Northwestern. The only nod I'm going to give you is Syracuse, if Dungy's playing. So if it came down to the biggest if in the world that Texas did beat, go on a run, and their only loss was to Maryland week one, then, yeah, they go over Notre Dame, who would go undefeated, yes. Because then they would have played, like you said, they would have four top 10 wins. And beating West Virginia, who might have a Heisman hopeful, that goes a long ways.
Okay, but Notre Dame,
but
Notre that, that's Dame not the, is the still
question,
doing its thing.
The question, the answer I have is a Big 12 team that conference doesn't look good. They don't play defense, and they
sure
honestly,
you have to go undefeated. You have to go undefeated.
And honestly, they're not stopping nobody, and SEC offenses are getting better, so it's going to be impossible for them to beat those guys. And, right, well, and the top tier ACC guys as well.
All right. Well, let's not get to. Let's look.
And
okay. So now that we've discussed that, we're on that. Now,
who's Notre Dame beat?
They beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame has beaten Stanford. They beat Michigan.
Michigan. Man, Shea Patterson.
It's been like that.
I get it. Football. It's kind of like Florida. Notre Dame is undefeated. Where you don't play nobody, and if you. You don't schedule nobody, and you claim you play FSU and LSU.
Sleep on Florida all you want.
If Florida's in the SEC, you're arguing a null and void point because they're in the SEC. I don't care if they're in the East or the West. Yes, the West is harder, but still, you're in the SEC. That's a non argument.
They ain't left the state. They ain't left the state in since '79 to go play. Well, somebody. You know what? Ain't left the other than last year.
You know, last week when they were at home, they sure ran LSU out the state.
They ran us out. Okay. I mean, hey, hats off to their defense. Hats off to their defense. Hats off to Dan Mullen. Hats off to Dan Mullen single-handedly knows how to push and pull that team. He knows how to push and pull any team.
Okay. But so now that we're here and we're talking,
and I'm going to bring it up right now.
Yeah, let's go.
Because I want to talk about Florida fans who poo-pooed Mullen this whole time. Oh, we want Frost. We give us Chip Kelly. Mullen. I mean, I heard it all from Florida fans. Yeah, they exist on this podcast right now.
Right, hey, that's not me. You're not gonna look at me.
And now
I wanted a name. I wanted a big name.
Mullen's not a big name. Mullen's played in the West.
Mullen's been
in the West and proven.
I wasn't like ecstatic. I was like, oh man, Mullen's the man. Mullen's the man. But I was sold right after the spring.
Okay, so are you convinced? Are you convinced?
Just hearing him, actually, that's a lie. Right after his first press conference, when he talked about Florida being his dream job, like I was sold once I got to hear him talk.
Tennessee was Lane Kiffin's dream.
That's all it took for me. You're talking about my original reaction when you sat there and you got the same report that I did.
No, we're not talking about reports. Through your whole offseason after you fired Butters and you try to find your new coach, it was all I heard was Frost. Chip Kelly, from not only you, from a lot of other people.
You didn't hear much about Frost from me.
I heard Chip Kelly. And both those guys.
Yeah, I wanted Chip Kelly. I wanted a big name. I wanted a guy who –
Here's the thing, Nick. Both of those guys, Frost and Chip Kelly combined, are 0-10 right now. Okay? Okay? And you want to know something?
Yeah, I mean, all it took was
who,
the
so
first
you're convinced, who was, first you're first convinced who was,
Mullen, hey, I was telling Nick before the year that they should have hired Mullen.
Okay, hold on, Nick. So you're convinced now. You're good.
Not now. I was convinced.
Well, I mean, what do you think a head coach is going to say? Oh man, you know this is my second or third choice. Of course he's going to be like, I love the place.
Do you think he went into Mississippi State and said that was his dream job?
I mean, Lane Kiffin went.
I'm sure he said a lot of nice things about Mississippi State.
Yeah, but
right. But it, but that's a
Lane.
Far less,
hey,
less
but Lane Kiffin went to Tennessee as his dream job, and see how where that lasted. So
don't compare.
I'm just saying. Well, I mean, here was my big argument.
Don't you ever not with that coach you got out there at Texas A&M?
Well, I mean,
not
Jimbo's with that. Well, don't worry about Jimbo. Jimbo's a great coach.
Not with
Jimbo's
that. Jimbo's
a great coach. He's a Matt.
He's Urban well, he's, Meyer.
I mean, Urban Meyer's in the running for it every year.
So. Yeah, there you go. So,
well, I mean, my main reason for bringing up Dan Mullen is because there was so.
Would you let your kid play for Urban Meyer or?
Oh, you're talking about off the field. You're talking about his ethics, not his coaching.
That's what we were attacking at that point because he compared Lane.
Okay, I'm just saying Lane Kiffin went to Tennessee.
He clearly went wasn't coaching. He clearly out. Wasn't talking on the field when speaking of Lane Kiffin and Dan.
Well, no, I'm clearly speaking of Lane Kiffin going to Tennessee and saying, "Hey, how you doing? I love this place." And the next thing you know, he's at Alabama. So,
my reason for bringing up Mullen is because I heard a lot of people around here, and I'm not even just picking on Nick because I heard from a lot of people like. Well, I mean, what has Dan Mullen really done? You know, I mean, that's what I heard from a lot of local media. And, like, what has he done? He's competed in the West when it was the toughest division for those 8 years. Like, what do you mean, what has he done? And so at one point, he was ranked first in the country. What are we talking about here?
Has Mississippi State regretting the decision? I mean,
you've disrespected Les Miles, and he did that for years at LSU. So it's okay
for bad time management and not making adjustments in game at halftime when other teams are making adjustments and whooping your tail coaching.
Okay.
All I'm saying is you're talking about his accolades and Les
right,
Miles.
Right, but let's.
And you
here's the thing, right? Dan Mullen's a different coach and a better coach because he's an offensive mind guy. What did Les Miles do? He was an offensive line guy. You know what I mean? So, I mean, he had to depend on his coordinators. And honestly, he wasn't a good in-game coach. He wasn't. That's why he lost his job.
All right, so let's not stray too far. We got it. We're here. Let's talk. Let's get back on track. LSU in Florida. Let's get some takes on it.
Go ahead, Nick.
Let's
– No, go ahead, Nick. Oh, for me, LSU was the better team. I mean, like I said, hats off to that defense. Hats off to Dan Mullen, the way he did. But let's look at the last 2 weeks. I'm talking top to bottom. If LSU and Florida would play 10 times, LSU probably went 7 or 8 of those times. If – I mean, let's look at it. I mean, Florida has had to pull tricks.
What is their last 10? What is their last 10?
Florida has had to pull a trick out their butt the last 2 weeks just to get in scoring position or get in the end zone to win games.
But they moved the ball in both games. They had, you know, they moved the ball. They've been struggling in the red.
Okay, zone. as an LSU fan,
they've been struggling on conversion down.
Kyle's in
red zone and conversion.
As an LSU fan, Kyle, is Joe Burrow still the answer?
Here's the thing, and like that's what Nick was saying. Nick was trying to tell me how Joe Burrow is. I mean, yes, he was.
Is he still the answer? That's a yes or no question. It's a yes. Or
yeah,
no
I still believe in Joe. I believe in Joe Burrow. I believe that the players had an eye on next week. That's what I honestly believe. And because we had our worst week. That was the worst game we've had all year. Other than guess who? Southeastern Louisiana.
Okay, but what?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and then you got Georgia this week.
But here's what I'm looking at. I think
Joe Burrow.
So if Joe Burrow's as a quarterback, in my opinion, and strictly as a fan, like we all are. You know, we're not in there. Like, his throws towards those ends, he had a couple of very bad, not saying choices, but I just want to say time. He was well off time in a lot of those.
On the pick six, when it came to almost desperation.
Oh, he was way late. You can't call it desperation. You're down 1 point. Don't ever say a pick six on that is a desperation time when they're down 1 point.
Well, here's what I'm saying. It's desperation.
You got time.
You got almost
3 minutes left.
No, it was like two something with no time.
Two and a half minutes.
You didn't have any time.
Every first down is a stoppage of the clock. So you got plenty of time to go down. You did it against Auburn. I don't want to hear it. So,
well, here's my
two
point.
And a half minutes.
My
you can't
is,
sit there and say like
this.
It's a desperate time.
My point is this: we gave up 5 sacks to Southeastern Louisiana. Guess who is next week? We're going into Auburn. Okay, so I'm saying we had one eye on next week. Honestly, being at the game and watching it up close, that was the worst game we've had all year as a team. Execution was bad. So I mean. Like I said, I think LSU was a better team, but hats off to Florida's defense.
And they bounced back against
Georgia. I guarantee
it's
a lot closer game than a lot of people think.
That isn't. That isn't.
What do you mean it's not okay to say?
You're sitting on top of the fence. You
won't I'm always rolling with my Tigers. I mean, obviously, but I'm saying it's gonna be a lot closer than what a lot of people think.
Well, I think this game is gonna be a very before we get into that, because I do want to get into two or three matchups real quick before we end this. I want to get in. I think LSU was the better team for about half the game. It's just the wrong half of the game. And it's not necessarily towards the end, because Florida, you know, the fumble that occurred on the second drive, LSU's up 7. They're going. To me, I think that right there took everything away. That brought 75-85% momentum on LSU's side, and it brought it to about 85-90% on Florida. Because you're looking at LSU, you're up 7-0, you score right here, field goal or touchdown, you're up 2 scores. But instead, you can't. You come down, and the roles get reversed, and Florida ends up scoring. So,
no, I don't think Florida.
No, you're right. You're right. They did stop them, but they were able to come back and score without being down 2 scores.
It was a back and forth game. Florida answered a lot of times. LSU came out, punched them in the mouth, big drive in the second half, and Florida answered. I mean, that's all you can say is they answered.
Well, I mean, I told you what was going to happen with the run game. As far as the counter and trying to out leverage to the other side. They did some weak side options, and you got to get that to Dan Mullen. I mean, he did it at Mississippi State, and that's what honestly hurts David Randa's defense, is that weak side action.
All right, so let's real quick. I know it's been hectic. We've been rolling and going here. I want to touch last minute. We got a couple big games next week. I just want to touch on them real quick. All I want from you guys is a winner and a loser, okay? And then we'll make our final statements and we'll be done. He's adjusting himself to select this. It's not hard. It's a winner or loser. It's a one team or the other. No need to get bent out of shape. Georgia LSU, Kyle.
LSU.
Nick. I have Georgia as well. Washington and Oregon.
Oregon
as well. That'll be an upset. Washington is ranked 7th.
They are
favored. Washington is actually favored in the game by 3.5, but I'm not high on them as well. Wisconsin and Michigan. Mr. Shea Patterson.
Wisconsin.
I like whiskey.
I'm going Michigan, and it's not because they're favored or whatever. I just think I don't know why. I honestly don't know why, but I'm going Michigan in that one. It's in Michigan. That's what's giving me the edge. So, okay, final statements. Anybody's got something to say? Anybody want to talk about something? Nick, you want to dive back into UCF? I mean, because that's what you do every week.
Nah, but you know what? I will talk about
okay,
two other
teams. Let's talk about them real quick. Make it quick. What we got?
Man, Miami, Florida State, it's getting embarrassing at this point. Florida State, you can't let your team down, your fans down. Just allowing Miami to come back in that game.
Up 20.
Disgrace. It was just a disgrace. And it's time to look yourselves in the mirror and just make a decision, make a choice. Who do you want to be this year?
I'm with you. Kyle, what do you got? Five statements.
I want to talk a little bit on Jerry Jones and how Jerry Jones just needs to sit down. Kind of like how Johnny Manziel last week needed to sit down. That's what Jerry Jones needs to do for a little bit. Jerry Jones is old and senile and out of pocket, talking out of the side of his neck. You want to know why? Because first off, a couple weeks ago, he had the gall to say his offense reminds him a lot of the Rams' offense. Are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me? Sean McVay – okay, yeah. Sean McVay is the next best coach in the NFL, and you could book it.
At 33 years old.
Absolutely. And for him to say that he sees a lot of comparisons between those two offenses, and that's what gives him optimism for the future, is laughable at the least. So, I mean, that, and then he follows it up with then taking shots at Dez Bryant, saying they've never really had a number one. Why? I mean, why are you even going to this? Why? You have not made the playoffs in so long. You haven't made any noise in this league in so long. Meanwhile, you have two other teams in your division winning Super Bowls, one of them multiple times, and you're over here stumbling over back and forth with Dez Bryant over who's the number one. Like, get it together, man, or step away. Let your son take it over. You just need to sit down. You and Johnny need to go sit down on the couch together.
All right, my final statement, closing arguments, is going to be for my alma mater. I'm going to give a shout-out to McNeese State University. They are not the school that everybody thinks they are. They are not the FBS. They are the FCS 1AA team. They are looking real good this year, highly ranked, actually ninth in the country, 5-1. Another tough win last week, and, you know, shout-out to them. Go Pokes. Guys, we've been running and gunning, as always, every week. You're going to get this one a little delayed. When you hear it, you're going to be real mad because you wanted it 2 days ago, but that's why we put a little extra in there for you. We thank you guys for tuning in. Please like, comment. Make sure you follow us, subscribe us. Check us on our Facebook, facebook.com/theslawoffice. We are getting on iTunes Podcast. We're actually on Google Podcast right now, and we're going to be uploading this link. Be sure to enjoy it. Share it with all your friends. Let us know what you think. Guys, the Slaw Office is out. Our balls are hot. It's time for us to go. You know, we appreciate y'all tuning in. Thank y'all so much.
Go Tigers.
Until next week. Later, fellas.